Good afternoon, Packers fans. Aaron Negler here with your Packers Daily Chat, coming to you live on the Cheesehead TV social channels. It is Monday. That's Monday after a game weekend. I mean, the game in question was a preseason contest, but here we are. We've made it. Ladies and gentlemen, there was actually football being played at various levels, but football game nonetheless for us to sink our teeth into and for fans to express their joy, excitement, and dismay and discomfort. Dependent on the play in question, the players in question, but it's great to have football back, man, and see all the clips online of people breaking down the film, talking about depth charts and dudes who made plays, dudes who didn't, but hey, it's great. We're back. So good to see everybody in the comments already mixing it up. Thanks so much for joining us. Before we get going, you know what I got to do. I got to give a shout out to our good friends over at Ticket King. That's right. Based in Wisconsin since the early 90s. That's like, you know, not quite the late 80s, but, you know, the early 90s. Located across the street from Lambeau Field on Oneida, they're happy to help you find just the right tickets for Packers games, from larger groups to single tickets, both home and away. They partner with local Green Bay businesses for tailgating and bus transportation to the games, so you don't have to worry about driving or parking. They're even open on game day for last-minute tickets or possible upgrades. They even have a drive-through window. And if you're not in Green Bay, no problem. Just use the Ticket King link on the Cheesehead TV homepage, on our app, or indeed in the description of this video. Don't use Ticketmaster, StubHub, SeatGeek, none of this national nonsense. Use a company based in Wisconsin since the early 90s. Ticket King for all your Packers ticket needs. And for all your running back needs, find you an offensive line who gives you a chance. I have seen a lot of discourse, people, a whole lot of discourse on Twitter, in comment sections, also in my inbox from one individual regarding A.J. Dillon's inability to pick up a first down in that contest Saturday in Cleveland. I'm not here to absolve A.J. of any sins. I'm not here to say that he's definitely the best option or definitely going to make the team. All that is yet to be determined because, as usual, they will look at the totality of the work. But man, anybody who just goes back, and I understand maybe in the moment being, you know, upset because you want, A, the Packers to pick up a first down, but B, you want to see more of the offense. You want to not have to punt and, you know, or not have to turn the ball over, and you want to continue to watch your team play offense, score points. That's what's popular, right? But man, that's in the moment. Like, we're 2 days away where you have the ability to actually go back and watch those plays. And A.J. Dillon had absolutely no shot on any of them. I mean, I understand that we saw the beginning of last year where a couple plays where he comes up short early in the season, one in particular down in Atlanta where he trips over himself and comes up short, and that has probably stayed in the minds of Packers fans somewhat too long to my liking, but I get it. I understand it. It probably colors the perception a little bit, but I am begging you to go back and actually look at the plays in question. Just do it. You have the ability to do so, and then maybe just dial it back a little bit. Again, two more preseason games to go, some joint practices to go. They will look at the totality of the work. I get some people are predisposed to not like A.J. Dillon, but man, at least be critical of shit that's actually real and not stuff that you're just like holding on to from previous seasons, previous performances. At least, like, if you're going to critique a player, critique him for what actually happened in the game. That's where I just kind of lose my mind. But that's just me. I'm an old fart, and you youngsters just don't care about that. I understand. That's right. I played the youth card. What are you going to do about it? Hello to everyone in the comments. How y'all doing? Good to see everybody. What do we got here, folks? We got Joe. Thanks for the super chat, man. Random Packer, Reggie White, the running back. That is well played. That is well played. Ed, thanks for the super chat. What a great sequence. Euro Cup, Olympics, and now football. Gotta love it. Ed, this has been a phenomenal summer. No question about it. To go from the Euros and Copa, to a lesser extent, to the Olympics, and now to segue seamlessly into football season. I wish we could do it every summer. I know it's a lot, but man, so good. Jocelyn, thanks for the super chat. Bullard seems to have an attitude, and his play backs it up. Really enjoyed seeing him move in space. Guy eats grass and kicks ass. Random Packer, Dron McMillan. Yeah, Bullard's the real deal. The physicality is undeniable, and you certainly saw that on display in Cleveland. I think we've seen it throughout camp, really, so far, regarding a guy who's not afraid to stick his nose in there against the run. Very, very smart, and his ability to diagnose things. I think you've seen that a couple of times, both on family night now and then again in that game in Cleveland on Saturday. What I'm fascinated to see is how he's utilized when they go, like, say it's an obvious passing down and he's asked to turn his hips and run with a tight end down the seam, something like that. And I'm sure he can do it. I just haven't seen him asked to do a lot of it yet. That's where I'm kind of curious to see how he responds to that kind of thing. Because right now, everything I've seen him do has been kind of in the box, around the line of scrimmage. And I want to see him kind of center field, like the times when McKinney is going to be down in the box. Is he able to handle and do the things deeper that are necessary? And again, I'm sure he can. I just haven't seen a ton of it yet. Anthony, thank you for being a Care of the G Club member. As far as Dylan, a wise man once said, whole lot of ballgame left. You are not lying, sir. Very much so. Zapped dog. This is a constant question and or topic of conversation on Happy Hour. I'm glad that you can bring it here to Packers Daily. Why is Royce Newman still on the team? Because he has starting experience. He has a lot of experience in this offense. They know they can count on him as far as being able to throw him in there in an emergency situation. There's a very good chance if, say, Sean Ryan, Jacob Monk, those type of players, they continue to develop and improve throughout camp. I think there's a decent chance that Royce Newman is sent packing, like he gets his walking papers. But it's not a foregone conclusion. We know the Packers really kind of put a premium on experience. They have the entire time most of this kind of offensive staff has been in place. They like a guy who knows the assignment, and Newman certainly does. Now, yes, is he occasionally overpowered? Does he not look great? Yeah, but more often than not, you can stick him in there and you can operate on offense. And yes, every once in a while, there's going to be hiccups, but that is, you know, especially considering he redid his contract right before camp, he is cheap labor. And you just keep that around as long as you possibly can. What else we got here? Mimsy, what's up? Thanks for the super chat. Love deep ball equals happy learned how to putt. Uh-oh. I mean, possibly. I said, I think on Twitter the other day, he's hit on a go route nearly every practice, you know, where he sees that single coverage on a single high safety look. And he has hit Watson on that almost every time. He's hit Wicks on a few. He's hit Reed on one. It's like that wasn't happening last summer. So, yes, I think he most certainly has seemingly worked very, very hard on being able to connect those types of situations with those types of routes. And it really looks like it's, you know, coming out of a place of rhythm, which is great. That throw to Wicks, the way he looks off the safety and then hits the top of his drop, one hitch, go. It's all in the rhythm of the play. That's what you love to see. No doubt about it. What else we got here, folks? Nick, thanks for the super chat. Wyatt looked very good from the eye test. Also, random Packer, Jonathan Franklin. Love me some Jonathan Franklin. I actually thought Ross Uglum put it perfectly on Twitter, and I'm paraphrasing here, but he said, you know, Wyatt is basically born to play in Jeff Hafley's defense because you're not asking him to read. You're not asking him to absorb a double team and get off a block. You're just asking him to get upfield. There were at least three plays in that game where he splits a double team and causes the quarterback to have to throw and make a decision. That's what you want. Affect the quarterback, affect the pocket, put pressure on the quarterback. He's going to do that, especially if he's allowed to just get upfield. I really liked what we saw from him in regards to what's being asked of him in that game. No question. Mike, thanks for the super chat, man. Is Hafley on the sidelines or booth on game days? I believe he started on the booth, in the booth on Saturday, but I also think he went down on the field later in the game. But I do think he's going to call from the booth. But we'll see. I'm sure they're going to utilize everything they can during the preseason to make that determination. Jeezy baby. Random Packer, legend Steve McMichael. Truly, truly a legend. Says more about their lack of O-line depth. I mean, I think Soder puts it perfectly. In fairness, no one has O-line depth. I mean, look around the league. I talked about this with Bakhtiari years ago. I mean, O-line play, it's in a dire spot in the NFL. And clearly, look, the NFL wants you to throw the ball. They want you to score points, and they want to help the offense. But because of the way the players' union has acquiesced to the NFL as far as what they've given up to achieve their goals as a union, not allowing these guys in the building for much of the offseason, and when they do, they're not allowed to wear pads for, like, most of the time. These guys have no physicality to their game until really the first preseason game. And even then, the starters aren't playing together for the most part. The jump from college to the pros is significant. And most of the guys in college are not getting coached up the way they used to, especially not in a pro-style offense. So, yeah, the depth of offensive line is I'm not going to say a fallacy, but it's certainly, you know, threadbare league-wide. And the Packers, of anybody in the league, have done a tremendous job of figuring out, all right, we are going to cross-train these guys, and we're going to utilize lots of draft picks to grow our offensive line internally rather than go spend, you know, free agency dollars and utilize that avenue on a player who may be good in one scheme, but maybe doesn't work quite as well in your town with these guys and this scheme, what he's asked to do, etc. It's hard, man. It's hard. Now, that's not to absolve, like, poor offensive line play, because you've got the standard is the standard, and you've got to be able to operate on offense. And that all starts up front. It's the most important aspect of offense. But you can also only operate in so much as the league allows you to, as far as practicing. And practicing offensive line play is nearly impossible given the restrictions that every team is working under. Like, yes, they certainly eventually get on the field and play a bunch of football, but you'll notice, like, it takes a while for teams to kind of find their footing and get in a groove offensively. More often than not, now they're always outliers, but more often than not, it takes a game or two before they're even kind of working as a cohesive unit, because there's none of that work being done in the offseason. You know, it's a trade-off. It's unfortunate, and it's really apparent when you go back. Like, I invite you to do so. Go back and watch, like, any game from the 90s where they were still having, like, lots of work in pads in the offseason, throughout camp, etc. It's noticeable. The technique, the ability to move people off the ball, the ability to work together as a cohesive unit, it's just different, you know, and they were also being coached different in college, et cetera. It's just, that's a whole, you could do a whole podcast on that. And I think probably Duke O-line legend probably could do so, no doubt. What else we got here? Coleman, thanks for the super chat. What's up, Nags? Can't stop the excitement I'm feeling about the defense. They look free. Go Pack, go. They look free. I like it. It's the exclamation point that made that funny. That's a key, right? And that's something that we've certainly heard Matt and Jeff talk about this offseason as far as wanting these guys thinking less and playing free. And I think you did see kind of the beginnings of that, right? Now, there are going to be hiccups along the way. A lot of young players out there. You got to think, given everything that's probably being thrown at them schematically, it's great to say, I don't want you thinking, but you also have to know the structure of the defense, what the calls are, what the adjustments are, etc. Sometimes, you know, maybe some over-exuberance, some playing free may lead to, you know, lapses or mistakes or whatever. It's about learning from that and developing and continuing to grow within the scheme. It's going to feed into your ability to do just that. Play free, play loose, play fast. So far, early returns, definitely promising. No question. Abdul, how you doing, man? Thanks for the super chat. Hey, Aaron, didn't get to watch the game. Anything you see from the game reassured you? Anything you're still waiting to see? Well, I think I did talk about that in regards to Bullard, but as far as reassuring, not really, because it's preseason. You know, there's not a whole lot to be gleaned from preseason other than the occasional one-on-one matchup, but even then, you don't really know what the call is or what these guys have been coached or told to do. Like, yes, it's great to watch Wicks go for a touchdown, right? But who's to say? I don't know that Greg Williams ever makes that call in a regular season situation. Now, that is his style of play. He likes man across the board with a single safety, etc. So maybe he does, but you really can't take much away from it. So it's not like I'm sitting here going, oh, that confirms all these priors. You know, there's no game planning going on. They're not looking at tendencies. They're calling very vanilla stuff. I mean, we talked about it on the radio just now. I just want to make sure everyone comes out of the game healthy. And as near as I could tell, I think, you know, the hamstring issue for Marshawn Lloyd is the only thing they really had to deal with coming out of that game. So that's a big victory. Other than that, you know, they're practicing. They're working on their craft. It's another step towards getting to the regular season. Essentially, that's it. What else we got here, folks? Adam, what's up? Thanks for the super chat. Would you say there are similarities between Micah Hyde and Evan Williams, or am I just seeing it because I want to see it? Adam, you're not the first one to make that comparison. I've seen that quite a bit. I don't really see Micah Hyde. I see a really smart player and a really good player with a lot of upside. But, yeah, I don't know. I think Micah Hyde is such a rare kind of player and a great player that it's hard for me to make that jump. You know, Evan looks promising. No question about it. You guys know I've talked about him a lot this summer, but for me, it's just a long way to go. But hey, who knows? Like, maybe there are cutups out there that you can look at, you know, Micah in his first training camp and they look just like Evan Williams. I don't remember it being that way, but yeah, it's hard for me to make that. And that's why I struggled with this when I was at Sports Illustrated, because we were required when we were doing the draft stuff to make the pro comparison for a college player coming out. Right. And I always joked, and I think lots of people have said this, it's just funny that whenever the draft community is doing those pro comparisons, right, it's never, well, he reminds me of that fourth string guy who never like got past the practice squad. It's always, oh, he reminds me of some generational talent that everyone will recognize. You know, it's kind of funny. I'm not saying that's what you're doing. I'm just saying it's kind of funny how the comparisons are never, well, remember that guy who really never did anything in the league? He reminds me of that guy. It's never, it's always hope, right? We're filled with hope because it's the summer and no one's lost a game yet and everyone's clean sheet wise defensively, and they got a million points to score on offense yet. And so we're all filled with hope. Very, very much so. Dennis, LVN is going to be a beast. Your thoughts? I thought he took a nice step on Saturday. No doubt about it. Now you do kind of have to look at the level of competition, right? He certainly did what was required. He was absolutely disruptive. He was very productive. He needs to continue to do so. The standard is the standard, right? And it doesn't matter who you're facing. The expectation is he is that active and that productive every single week. It's a nice step. Nice step to take, no doubt about it. Valzad, how you doing? Thanks for the super chat. Nice to see a safety play with bad intentions, whether making a play on the ball or the ball carrier. I believe their secondary will be more aggressive. I very much agree with everything you have written there, sir. I mean, I think I talked about this a couple weeks ago. I was talking about Evan Williams, but just in general, the safety play. I mean, we've talked about Evan Williams and Javon Bullard, but do not forget about Anthony Johnson Jr., who fits exactly what you're talking about there as far as arriving in with a bad intention of either blowing something up in the run game, making the tackle. Physicality really jumped off the screen, I thought, for AJJ. Don't forget about him. He is certainly making a case, and I think it's going to be hard, obviously, for him to displace one of those guys, the two rookies, just because of their draft pedigree, etc. But man, he is not going quiet into that good night. I'll tell you that. Matt, thanks for the super chat. Should Carlson be worried or too early to tell? Well, the only thing Carlson should worry about is making the next kick. So, I mean, should he be worried? I don't think it'll help, but he can if he wants. I will also say it is not too early to tell. I just talked about this. If we were looking, as they always say, right, at the totality of the offseason, going all the way back to the start of the offseason program up until right now here today, I think it's pretty clear Greg Joseph is ahead. Now, a lot can happen this week in practice, joint practices, next two preseason games. But I don't think anyone can make the case that Carlson is in the lead of this thing if it is a true competition. Now, and I understand the sentiment out there is that Carlson's the draft pick, so he's going to make it regardless. I don't think that's the case. I don't think being a draft pick is going to save him if it's very clear that he is not winning this thing. I do think if it becomes a neck-and-neck race and they're essentially even, then I think his draft status, yes, will save him. But right now, to my eyes, that ain't it. I think he is number two at the moment. But As I often say, a lot of ball game left. Joe, what's up? I now think Vet Dillard makes the team. Thoughts? He's got a shot. Still doesn't look great, but just because of the lack of depth at tackle, not only in Green Bay, but around the league. He's got starting experience. They like his traits. They can play him on either side. He's definitely got a shot to make the team. I'd like to see Caleb Jones a little bit more myself, get more of a shot. But, yeah, I mean, it's hard when Telford's just giving up the edge no matter what to whatever edge rusher or speed rusher is out there. I mean, he is really mightily struggled against Rashawn Gary in camp. It's not like Dillard's been lights out in that regard, but he's at least been a little bit more consistent. I'm not going to say scary, but it's unfortunate. Yeah, Dillard probably makes the team at this point. Ken, how are you, man? Thanks for the super chat. Love only completed 2 passes. I'm very worried. I mean, and one of those went for a loss, Ken. My goodness. John Simatovich, what's up, man? Preseason NFL X is a hell of a drug to consume. Yeah, it's overreaction city, but you know, it's been all summer. We're all jonesing for some action, and they provide it, so we consume it. It's fun. Charlie, thanks for the super chat. Random Packer, Darren College. The North Poles, or not North Poles, what is it? Yeah, North Pole, Alaska. North Pole's very own, Darren College. Abdul, thanks for the super chat. When does Cooper come back? How has Hopper looked? Hopper's looked promising in a way that it's the classic case. Now, both of them have been shelved. We'll see tomorrow if either one of them get back out on the field, both dealing with injuries. But Hopper, prior to missing practice late last week, I thought he's looked better than advertised. This is a classic case. I remember last year everyone saying, oh, they overdrafted Sean Clifford and all that stuff. And then Sean Clifford comes out in the preseason and looks pretty damn good. Well, with Hopper, it's like I read all the scouting stuff and all the draft industrial complex talking about all his weaknesses. And as I always say, don't tell me what he can't do. Tell me what he can do. And what they've asked him to do has looked pretty damn good. Looks like it's not too big for him. It's not too much for him. He's flowed to the ball well. I thought he's looked assignment sure. It's hard to say with any certainty because A, we don't have the play call and we certainly don't have the ability to go back and look at practice tape, but he certainly looks like he belongs and he could be productive. And he's had a number of plays where he's been either in on the ball, making a play on the ball before it gets to the receiver in coverage, filling really nicely in the run, making plays behind the line of scrimmage, shooting gaps, creating havoc. I like what we've seen so far. Now, it is very, very early. It sucks that he wasn't able to get out there for that first preseason game. He's going to have to get back on the field and get himself into that rotation. But so far, so good. To me, it's been a bit of a surprise given how much negative stuff I saw around that selection draft weekend in this offseason. But as always, draft industrial complex. You get what you pay for. Just call me Rabbit, and thank you for always being so good to your chat room. Oh, Rabbit, that is incredibly kind of you. Thank you so much. And thanks for checking it out each and every day. Dustin, thanks for the super chat. Nags, pump for this season. We are on track for 17-0. Trivia, what is creamy and cold from the land of the green and gold? You know what? I don't know. I can't really recall, but I think I have an answer to that.
Will we carry the G wherever we may be? So creamy and cold, and from the land of the green and gold.
I can't help it. I can't help it. I love that song. Jason, you are the man, the absolute man. Coleman, thanks for the super chat. What are your thoughts about the run game this year? Ooh, they need a lot better work up front than what we saw for some of Saturday. Now, obviously, the one carry that Josh Jacobs got looked really nice, right? Good work up front. And hey, shout out to Christian Watson for absolutely burying a dude on that play. But yeah, the run game early last year was hard to watch. And a lot has been made about A.J. Dillon, but if people actually go back and watch those games early in the season last year, they were brutal up front. Now, it improved as the year went along, but my God, they cannot afford to come out of the gate looking like they did last season, even this past preseason game. I think part of it is a product of trying to put a lot of different guys in a lot of different spots, all the cross training they're doing. So it is kind of very disjointed. right? And they're working, they'll work through that. I think you saw with the offensive coaches who were available today, whether it was Stenovich, whether it's Sermons, any of the offensive guys, they all talked about needing Butkus as well, much better pad level. And if you go look at the plays in question, guys are standing up, right? Getting stood up, but also standing up. They got to get way below their pads comparative to what we saw on Saturday. And this goes back to what I was talking about earlier when it comes to the offensive line. That gets kind of taught and drilled, and it gets in your body as an offensive lineman by repetition. That's what happens. Like, those are the reps that become so valuable, and those are the types of reps you don't get in practice in the offseason because of the practice limitations. So that is something that they're going to have to work on, obviously, not just this week, next couple weeks, but these next few months, because they got to get that ground game going. Rob, thanks for being a Care of the G Club member. With a little more practice, Anders is going to be hitting the upright consistently. You know, we're trying to have a good time here, man. We got to bring us down. Nick, thanks for checking out the stream, man. Do you think that Jordan Morgan plays next week at all? Really hope so. He needs to, especially if they want him starting down there in Brazil. I think Matt was asked about it today, and very noncommittal, which is to be expected. We'll see tomorrow. It's our first practice of the week. Got to get him out there, though. I know Matt said he would miss about a week, right? So that could be 10, 12 days. So we know the Packers won't rush anybody back. I got to think they want to see him out there sooner rather than later, just to get him ready for week one. And that's going to be here before we know it. Carl, thanks for the super chat. It's exciting to see Dubose making plays. Yes. Yes, it is. And look, that what we saw on display from Dubose in that game is just an extension of what he's done all camp. Now, I did tweet about this one day where he had it, probably the catch of camp up the right sideline on a bomb from Clifford, where he just went up, skied, mossed two defensive backs and came down with it. Amazing catch. And I was like, kid's just making a play every day. It's undeniable. And then literally the next offensive drill, like team stuff, he dropped an easy one in the left flat. Like, that's, you know, that kills you as a observer who's really rooting for the guy. Like, he's got to find consistency, but he has been consistent in making big plays almost every single practice, right? We've seen it again and again and again. And then Saturday was just an extension of that. So that's the kind of thing when you're down at the bottom of the roster, that's what gets you opportunities. You make the most of those, you get more opportunities. You keep doing that on a consistent basis. That's how you win a roster spot. Now, he's also got to contribute on teams. That's not just kind of put to the side just because you make some plays in preseason, but if he continues doing what he's been doing in practice and now this preseason game, he's going to be on the 53. Ken, thanks again, man. Nice to see the two huge backup tackles road grade the D-line on runs in the second half. Now if they could pass protect. Yeah, I mean, look, again, it's about opportunities, repetition, the ability to learn from the mistakes, look at the film, try to come back this week, both in practice on your own, practice the joint practice, preseason game, and build on not only what you did well, but to correct, right? And there's a lot to correct. Dustin, thanks again, man. People may disagree politically this time of year, but we can all agree, F the Bears and go Pack go. Dustin, 2024. That is absolutely a sentiment I can get behind. Rob, thanks for the super chat. Providing he makes the team, Caleb Jones should be a big part of your short yardage package. Duke can move people around. You know what I would love? If Caleb becomes the swing tackle, and this may be, you know, just the fan in me. I can't help it. But Caleb Jones makes the team, right? And he is your swing tackle. He's dressed on game day to be ready to go if either tackle goes down, right? And then they come out in like the old school jumbo Kevin Berry package. And, you know, he reports as eligible as a additional like six offensive linemen. And they just go to town with Jacobs in the run game. And then after they're really successful with that, they run boot action off that. So the defense is biting hard on that run action. And then Jordan just boots out away from it and finds a guy streaking down the field for a touchdown. All because Caleb Jones made the team, by the way. I am totally, totally down with that. Aaron Picard, what's up? Joel Wilson showing up, making the 53. He absolutely is making a case. I think he's had a good camp, but I think Ben Sims had been having a nice camp until, he kind of just not disappeared, but wasn't really involved much, at least as the passing game goes, on Saturday. I think both of those guys have had nice camps. That's going to be a battle, and that's going to be something where, without question, that special teams will decide that. Like, neither of those guys is making the team because of what they do from scrimmage. Like, they have to show they're adept at it. They can certainly be counted on in certain situations, being asked to come, you know, and provide whatever 4, 5, 12 snaps a game, etc. But what they do on teams is what's going to have them on the team, like, without question. All right, everybody, I got to get going. Cannot thank you enough for hanging out, talking Packers each and every day, Monday through Friday, right here on the Cheesehead TV social channels. Please do me a monster favor. Hit like on the video, subscribe to the channel, and then tell your friends and tell your family, Cheesehead TV, we are devoted to Green Bay Packers fans worldwide. Thanks a lot, everybody. Have a great night. Go Pack, go.